Well, ladies and gentlemen, back here on Voice of Christian Israel, Eurofolk Radio. It's September 23rd, 2018. Been trying to get a hold of David Martins in South Africa, but no response. So he's been quite regular the last couple of weeks, but unable to get him today. And I figure I'm just going to plow onward with the farm land seizure that's begun in South Africa, where the black regime, the black communist regime in South Africa, is trying to dispossess whites of the farmland that they have been farming for what, over 300 years now, and which they did not steal from any blacks. That is a myth that has been promoted by the Jew-inspired press, and that belongs to the white people. But the according to the Express, and I think I'm sh not sure if this is a British or a South African, home of the Daily and Sunday Express. The a title is South Africa Farm Seizure. Take the land by force. White farmers warned they must share. Now, wait a minute. Sharing and being dispossessed are two different ideas. And how in the world are white farmers supposed to share their land on which they are growing food? The only way that they've been able to get blacks to farm is as day laborers, as hired hands. Whenever whites have been dispossessed from their farmland in South Africa and elsewhere around the world, and non-whites have taken over, especially blacks, the blacks have been unable to yield anything. They have been unable to farm, unable to produce any food. And the case of Zimbabwe stands out, that when the whites were dispossessed in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe stopped producing food and they had to start importing food. Of course, the international bankers will always bail them out and give them money to buy food from other countries. But this never works. So this is obviously a power grab to dispossess the white people of their rightfully owned farms. Now, what kind of sharing could this possibly mean? Mean higher taxes? It's ridiculous. The whole concept of sharing land with someone who owns it without compensating the owner is ridiculous. Let's give a listen to here. Here is a white farm lady being interviewed by local television here. Let's listen.
Edad Hall has carried a handgun since the murder of her husband by armed raiders 6 years ago.
He was on his knees at that point in time. And they just pulled the trigger.
Okay, so her husband was murdered by blacks while he was on his knees, and so since that time she's carried a handgun. Well, I don't blame her.
Her family have worked the land for a century and a half, building the nation's wealth and creating jobs, she says. She won't give it up.
Okay, so white farmers have been providing food, providing jobs, and of course, paying taxes. All of these things benefit the country. Do blacks benefit the country in this way in South Africa? Very few, very few. Most of them work for the government or don't work at all and just get welfare handouts that are taken from the white farmers and other whites in South Africa in the form of taxes. So the situation in South Africa is unique because it's the white farmers, the whites, who are a minority. And the minority is paying for the survival of the majority. So it's backwards. The minority people are the ones doing all the work, creating all the wealth, providing the food to feed the majority. And they're still being persecuted. So if you think it's going to be any different if whites ever become a minority in America, do you think that's going to raise our status to where we can now get handouts from the others? No, the others won't produce anything.
My blood, heart, soul, tears, everything that I am into this little piece of land. It's not a big piece. This is where I belong. This is me. This is my life. And now you want to take it away. You might as well slit my throat and get it over with.
This week, in a rare moment...
That's what the blacks in South Africa plan to do.
...of racial unity, black and white farmers promised to work together. A search for a solution supported by a government nervous about the impact on South Africa's reputation.
We're going to ensure that there's no land grab. But there should be a realization from farmers, white farmers, that they've got to share the land.
Okay, how do you share the land? Do you allow blacks to just move in and take over? And that's a surefire way of destroying the productivity of the land. Because farming in Africa has always been run by whites, and blacks have never demonstrated any ability whatsoever to farm, to make the land productive. None. They just don't have the ability to do it. So how do you expect white people to share? What more do you want from them? And it's a ridiculous proposition. So, well, it really looks, and unfortunately David's not with us because I wanted to ask him, you know, how things, if there's been any improvement since last week in relations between white farmers and the government. And, you know, because we've been hearing rumors about white people getting armed and beginning to fight back, an armed revolution. I don't see what other solution there is to this problem. I really don't see it. Okay. So let's continue here. South Africa Deputy Prime Minister David Mabuza said the ruling ANC government would ensure there is no land grab from white farmers, which you just heard him say from his own mouth. Plans to authorize, but then sharing. Then he additionally said, well, they have to share. How are you gonna share your land? For example, in America, you know, do blacks who live in the cities demand a share of the farmland? What are they going to do with it? Is the government going to use the farmland and build buildings on it? It's ridiculous. The whole concept is ridiculous. And that's why America is based on property rights, which the government does not have any right to your property. And even the income tax and the real estate taxes, those are illegal too. Those property taxes were passed in the 20th century under the international Jew, with the Jew moving into America. America had no property taxes. Had no property taxes. There were just, in the 19th century, there were import duties and taxes on sales, but there were no property taxes. This is the Jewish invention. So you can also see the Jewish hand behind the dispossession of white farmers. And the Jews will not relent until they have either exterminated or enslaved every white person on the planet. This is what white people have to realize. This is not just taxation and dispossession. This is genocide. We're talking about genocide. The article continues. Plans to authorize the government to take away farms from white farmers without compensation to redistribute the land were scrapped on Wednesday. Okay, that's a bit of good news. I think they realized that it was not practical to do that. What we reported last week was that white farmers were taking legal action and filing suit against the government, thus slowing the process down. And we quoted one white farmer who said that this is going to handcuff the government attempt, and because the law that this government land grab is not valid under the Constitution. And, but of course, blacks don't care about that. Blacks, that constitution was conceived by Jews. By Jews and white liberals. Blacks, I'm sure, had nothing to do with the writing of the current constitution that went into effect in 1994. And we found last week that the black lady who was interviewing the white farmer didn't even know what a government bond was. It shows you how ignorant the blacks are that are actually running the ANC government. But Mr. Mabuza warned the farmers at risk, they must learn to share. How? How are you supposed to share? You're going to squeeze blood out of a rock? They grow the food with help from blacks that they employ. And they pay taxes. What more do you want from them? Do they have any kind of idea what they want from the farmers? No, they just make things up as they go along. Let's continue. Speaking to ITV News, the ANC politician said, quote, "We are going to ensure that there's no land grab, but there should be a realization from farmers, white farmers, that they've got to share the land." Okay, so there's that word share again. So what does he mean by that? Next paragraph. "But while plans to take farms away were dumped, black activists remain firm in their demands for the land to be redistributed." And what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do with it? Are they going to make shopping malls with the labor paid for and organized by international corporations and international banks? What are they going to do with it? And the more land deprived from white farmers, the less food the South African people are going to have. It's really just that simple. Peter Siolola from the Economic Freedom Fighter said, quote, "We'll take the land by force because we are in need of the land." For what? What are you? You've proved to the world that you can't farm the land. What are you going to do with it? Besides tear out the copper pipes and sell them for scrap, what are you going to do with the land? We are in need of the land. For what? And he says, "We are not going to be apologizing for that. We are in need of the land as like now." Again, for what? What are you going to do with the land? What are you capable of doing with the land? The article continues, "Nearly 72% of the land in South Africa is owned by white farmers." Yeah, because they're the ones been producing food. "But only 8% of the country's 56 million population is white, according to the land audit report." Well, they're the only ones that are actually making the land produce anything. A law proposed in 1913 called the Native Lands Act made it illegal for South Africans to acquire land beyond their reserves, known as homelands. Now, I'm not sure what this means. Does it mean white South Africans? So whatever land is left, apparently, is no longer available to them. Is that what it means? Let's see. "Public hearings on land reform are being held across South Africa to test the waters on whether to change the constitution to include a clause allowing for land expropriation without compensation." And this is what the white farmer argued last week. He said, "No, it's not constitutional. You can't do that. And we will tie you up in the courts, so forget about it." And so apparently they have forgotten about that. That's good news. This doesn't mean that they still, you know, when have blacks obeyed the law? They violate the law whenever they decide that they can get away with it. And so it's only a question of time. At some point in time, the white farmers will have to band together and challenge the government. Challenge the government. Nonsiba Maloli, a spokeswoman for the ANC's chief whip, said, quote, the bill in its current form would need to be reconsidered in light of the process of reviewing Section 25 of the Constitution for the expropriation of land without compensation. Were the bill to be reintroduced, it would contain a clause or clauses reflecting expropriation of land without compensation if that is the way the South Africans have chosen to go. Well, who is the South Africans? The black majority, because the whites would be outvoted in any case. So as a minority, the white farmers, the white population is utterly helpless. So these black can change the Constitution anytime they want. And there's nothing the whites can do about it. Either they would have to leave, in which case the famine would be immediate. In fact, we reported last week that famine has already begun because the whites haven't bothered to plant crops. Because why should they bother to plant crops if their land is going to be taken? Of course, the produce is going to be taken away from them anyhow. So this has already caused a tremendous drop in the South African economy. The postponement is sure to be met with approval by U.S. President Donald Trump, who waded into the row over the country's plan for land seizures on Twitter. He wrote, quote, I have asked Secretary of State at SCC Pompeo to closely study the South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriations and the large-scale killing of farmers. Wow. Who was the last president of the United States to even say anything about the white genocide going on in South Africa? Certainly not Obama, certainly not the Bushes, certainly not the Clintons. So we see here Donald Trump is actually stepping in, and he's got clout. So hooray for Donald Trump for getting involved here and speaking out and at least criticizing the seizures and large-scale killing of farmers. The mass media refuses to cover this story, but Donald Trump has spoken out against it. The article continues. However, the 2016 bill has mainly been scrapped after stalling. So we got wind of this last week, that this is what would happen. These plans would stall. The ruling ANC is now expected to put forward new proposals to make it easier to seize farmland. Of course, the country is run by black communists, and they will simply continue with their endeavors. Somehow the white people that are left in South Africa have got to start fighting back. The South African government had started to seize land from white farmers, initially targeting two game farmers in the northern province of Limpopo, after talks with the owners, Akerland Bordery broke down over a huge difference in its estimated value. Okay, of course. Well, I mean, if they're going to seize the land without compensation, what difference does its value make? So they want to get compensated, which is their due. I mean, if you have to give the land up, you want to try to get as much money, and then that will enable you to leave and start over somewhere else, such as in Russia. There has been a rise in violent attacks against farmers in South Africa, and between 2016 and 17, there were 74 farm murders and 638 attacks, mainly against the white farmers. So this hasn't ceased at all. The government's not doing anything about it, and is in fact encouraging the murders of whites. Bernadette Hall, whose husband was murdered on their land by armed raiders in 2012, said, quote, he was on his knees by then and they just pulled the trigger. I put my blood, heart, soul, tears, everything that I am in this little piece of land. It's not a big piece. This is where I belong. This is me. This is my life. And now you want to take it away. You might as well slit my throat and get it over with. And we played that clip at the beginning of the show. Theresa May had pledged her support for land reform in South Africa, but she has emphasized the need to conduct farm appropriations in a legal and fair way. As if she means it. All right. This is crazy, folks, but this is the world we live in. And dictators, international bankers, and communists working together to destroy white civilization. This is where we're at. This is really what's going on. So you can't fool us anymore. It's just a question of when will our people rise up and fight the enemy? Fight the enemy off. The blacks, their attempt at governing South Africa is utterly pathetic. Utterly pathetic. Somebody hands them a script and they read a statement as if they have authority. That's how pathetic it is. It's really pathetic. Without white management, black countries simply cannot survive. They just resort back to type, which is the hunter-gatherer of the prehistoric era. That's what happens in these black countries. Yes, Bavarian man says his family left a long time ago. It's a good thing he got away. But Germany is a lot safer than South Africa. But you know, even in recent years, you know, who would have thunk? Who would have thunk that the German government and the European Union would be inviting black thugs and rapists and murderers from other countries, non-whites, to attack whites in Europe? Who would have thunk that? So the Jewish assault on the white race continues unabated, totally unabated. I'm going to switch here to the Atlantic to see how the Atlantic magazine handles this story. And I just briefly watched on television I think it was MSNBC, making fun of Donald Trump for getting involved in this situation. As if these white farm murders weren't even happening. They're still denying that they're even taking place. So this is from The Atlantic. The dangerous myths of South African land seizures. Reactionaries, that's a word that only Jew communists use. The writer is David Frum. Reactionaries on either side of the Atlantic are empowering one another. Well, if he means conservatives, we hope that what he just stated there is true. And there's a photo here. A farmer inspects his crop in Limpopo, South Africa. And it looks like a very huge field. Looks like corn. They call it maize in Europe. I don't see any corn cobs, but that's what it looks like. And a very huge field. And there's a white farmer walking through the field. You don't see blacks managing land on this size scale. If they even grow their own crops, that's very rare. Because most blacks today are city dwellers, certainly in America are city dwellers. I don't think there's even a handful of black farmers in America. Certainly not who produce anything worth exporting. I'd have to look that up to see if there's a statistic on that. But to my knowledge, there's virtually zero black farmers in America producing food for sale. And he says, last week, President Donald Trump watched Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News and got mad. That's not exactly news. But what happened next was news. The president tweeted a message of support for South Africa's hard-pressed white farmers. And hooray for him. And he quotes the same message I quoted from the other article. I have asked Secretary of State Pompeo to closely study the South Africa land and farm seizures. Well, obviously, this is unjust, certainly without compensation. And to tear people away from their homeland, several generations of homeland, which no black in South Africa can even say, because they were never more than hunter-gatherers. They never stuck around on one plot of land, planted crops and grew crops and built houses. No. Blacks in South, in Africa, in all of black Africa, they never built permanent dwellings until the white man arrived and taught them how to build permanent dwellings. The author says, again, this guy is David Frum. I think I got the first name right. Yeah, David Frum. Trump's tweet had the usual effect. It has swung liberal-minded Americans to exactly the equal and opposite point of view from the president's. Not sure what he means by that. Let's find out. Trump thinks it's bad for South Africa to seize land from white farmers without compensation? Then it must actually be good. I mean, is this guy being serious? Is this guy from serious? That it must actually be good? Maybe if somebody came along and took his house from Mr. Frum, maybe he wouldn't think it's so good. Or maybe if there was no food at the supermarket, Mr. Frum wouldn't think it's good. I mean, this is the liberal mindset. It's absolutely ridiculous. He continues, but the tweet also had a second effect, this one much less usual. It seems to have actually charged real-world policy for the better. Being a leftist here, that can't be true. On Tuesday, South Africa's governing African National Congress Party withdrew for further consideration a bill that would have authorized uncompensated land confiscations. Well, perhaps Donald Trump's getting involved was a catalyst for this withdrawal, and that's a good thing. But this author doesn't, he's not giving a clear message. What is he actually arguing for? Let's find out. The issue is not yet dead. The bill, not yet enacted into law, was withdrawn for reasons of procedure, not principle. No, that's not accurate. It was withdrawn because it's not constitutional. The South African Constitution doesn't allow the government to simply take land without compensation. This is the kind of quote-unquote news you get from the Atlantic. The new South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, maintains he will soon introduce new land laws of his own. Yes, of his own. Yet there's no mistaking Ramaphosa's extreme discomfort with uncompensated land seizures. Well, yeah, because the economy is going to collapse. The day after Trump's tweet, Ramaphosa published an op-ed in the Financial Times that handled the issue with sugar tongs. And that's how mass media handles things, where white people are the victims. Quote, South Africans are currently engaged in an intense debate over the prospect of expropriation of land without compensation as one among several measures to achieve reform. Yeah, reform, right. Theft. To achieve theft. Fortunately, the white farmers resorted to legal tactic, and he doesn't mention that the white farmers are the ones who forced the issue by challenging the legality of these seizures. Ramaphosa proceeded to scold, quote, commentators who have confined their engagement on this matter to sound bites and not to the substance. So Ramaphosa is scolding President Trump. Okay, Trump, send in the troops. Send them in. Wipe out the ANC. Of course, we know he's not going to do that. If that was a reference to Fox News, Ramaphosa has a point. Really? It's generally a bad idea to get your information from Carlson's Fox News program, yeah, well, because he's a liberal, about any subject other than what are white nationalists talking about today. Well, maybe you should, Mr. Frum, maybe you should think about that too. Because white nationalists, that is the white working class of America, the middle class, are the people who elected Trump. And obviously you have no sympathy or care or concern for flyover country. He continues, throughout the Carlson program, the screen blazed with cryons or chyrons, C-H-Y-R-O-N-S. I am not familiar with that word, chyrons, asserting that South African land seizures had already happened. Yes, they had. Well, if you kill a farmer and his entire family, who takes the land? At seizure by murder. Quote, South African farm seizures begin. Quote, chaos in South Africa as land expropriations begin. Yes, they had started, otherwise the white farmers wouldn't have challenged these in court. Quote, South African government is now seizing land from white farmers. Quote, South African land grab, the threat of violence and economic collapse. That's what we reported on last week. Is David Frum actually arguing that that's fake news and his column is not fake news? He continues, but there have been no seizures to date. That's a lie. White farms have been seized by the government, by hook or by crook, usually by murdering the landowners. We've heard dozens of stories, hundreds of stories of blacks taking over these farms, having been given these farms, and then tearing out the copper piping, selling it for scrap, and then the land lies fallow because they can't work the farms. This has happened time and time again. So Mr. Frum, to deny this is an out-and-out lie. The Atlantic is lying to you, folks. He says, not one farm has been taken from one white farmer without compensation. Again, another lie. The law allowing such seizures has not passed. Well, that hasn't stopped the black African government from seizing farms. He's making it sound like these farm seizures have not taken place without the legal process. No, the black African government has not been concerned about following the law. The constitutional amendment that would enable the laws has not been enacted. Well, thank you very much. Nor is it true that South African white farmers are being massacred by angry. That's another lie. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that David Frum, who's probably a Jew, would simply deny that white genocide is taking place in South Africa. He gives the usual, what do they call it, canard? South African crime statistics do not make it easy to ascertain how many victims of violence are rural as opposed to urban. No, but the pictures put on the internet of dead and injured white South Africans, up to 70,000 to date. Yeah, he's not going to quote that figure. He wants to deny that even one white farmer has been murdered. Or to identify rural victims by race. Yeah, why is that? Why is it so difficult? Because the government is covering it up. He continues, South Africa suffers appalling levels of crime and violence, thanks to who? And rural areas are even less well protected than the cities. Well, it doesn't really matter. White people are in danger everywhere in South Africa. That's why they live in gated homes. That's why the shopping malls are surrounded by gates and bars, and in many cases, barbed wire. Yeah, so he finally has made an honest statement here. South Africa suffers appalling levels of crime and violence, and rural areas are even less well protected than the cities. So, but the question, he ignores the question of why that is. He continues, while still shockingly prevalent, violent crime has sharply decreased since the end of that's a bold-faced lie. That's a bold-faced lie. The violence, South Africa was not known as the rape capital of the world under the white regime. This is the level of reporting you get from mainstream media, folks. This is shockingly, shockingly full of lies. U.S.-funded scholarship has shown that rural violence is overwhelmingly concentrated among the very poorest and among those with only a primary education, who are very unlikely to be white. Well, then why, since 1994, hasn't the black regime succeeded in educating these blacks and providing them with an economy? Whose fault is that? So he refuses to admit that this horribly run ANC government is to blame for even the poverty. Folks, I was there myself. I witnessed. I saw the trucks where blacks get a welfare payment every month paid for by white taxpayers. They just stand around doing nothing for the next 30 days until the next welfare check arrives. Just like black ghettos in America. They're all on welfare. They do nothing except commit crime. That's the real reason why they're poor. Because the government is doing nothing to create an economy except take money from whites and distribute it to non-whites. He continues, there's no mystery why Trump would be susceptible to believing a fable of murderous blacks and victimized whites. No, there's no mystery as to why you, Mr. Frum, are such a miserable liar. Because you're working for a Jew-owned magazine called The Atlantic. And, of course, they're taking this whole story as an attempt to attack Donald Trump. This shows the miserable state that the left is, and the corporate, we're talking about the left wing, left-wingers, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and the corporate left, which is owned by Jews, that support mob violence here in America, just as they support mob violence and land seizures and farm murders in South Africa. And by pretending that it doesn't happen, The Atlantic is doing a great disservice to everyone who reads their magazine. They're simply supporting white genocide by damning with faint reporting the reality of the situation. So, in other words, Trump has simply turned this into a talking point to make himself even more popular with us white racists. This is an incredible statement. Let me repeat this. There is no mystery why Trump would be susceptible to believing a fable of murderous blacks and victimized whites. Well, this is an absolute bold-faced lie by David Frum. As if it weren't happening. View the same segment that Trump viewed, and you will not miss its obvious racial incitement. No, all he said is that whites are being victimized, which is the truth. But if you point out that white people are being victimized, apparently that's racist. Including the insinuation that President Barack Obama endorses the plunder of whites. Well, he did absolutely nothing to aid white farmers in South Africa, and under Barack Obama, race relations have gotten far worse than they ever were. The ghetto population here in Chicago, more murders have taken place under Barack Obama than ever. Of course, but Barack Obama is a darling of The Atlantic. and he can do no wrong. Quote, why would former President Barack Obama, just several weeks ago, publicly praise a racist like Cyril Ramaphosa? Why would he do that? That is a correct statement by Trump. And Mr. Frum says, the correct answer to that question is that Obama praised Ramaphosa for the same reason that Western leaders generally have... No. Jew puppets. Not least, British Conservative Prime Minister Theresa May, another Jew puppet. May headed a delegation of 29 UK corporate and financial leaders who visited South Africa this week to welcome Ramaphosa's approach to investment and land question. Yeah, this is an international assault on white farmers in South Africa, as Pastor Martins and I have been documenting throughout this entire series, over 4 years now that we've been documenting this. Black violence against whites in South Africa. And here, David Frum is making light of it. He is making light of it. And in another segment I saw from MSNBC, a black reporter was making light of the Iowa girl, Millie, I forget what her name is, who was murdered by an illegal alien. As if the murder of white people is not of any significance. This is how the left treats white genocide. They make light of it, pretend it isn't happening. And then they fall, here's the fallback position. Well, these international leaders, British Conservative Prime Minister Theresa May, well, she didn't notice anything. He continues, Ramaphosa is regarded by Western governments generally as the least worst alternative for South Africa. Yeah, and other blacks would be any better? At least he has recognized that the Constitution doesn't allow for these land grabs. Certainly in preference to his brazenly corrupt and flagrantly incompetent predecessor, Jacob Zuma. Okay, so he admits that Jacob Zuma was brazenly corrupt and flagrantly incompetent. You expect any more from a black man? That's not the answer Carlson shared with his audience, though. Well, that's bad enough, isn't it? When his guest declined to produce a sufficiently inflammatory answer to Carlson's question about Obama, instead suggesting that Obama should call Ramaphosa to remonstrate with him, Carlson answered himself and said, quote, I wish he'd said that in public when he'd had the chance, but of course he didn't, being a coward. Well, yeah, no black person can say publicly that, you know, well, blacks can't govern. Carlson's deceptive report, that's not deceptive. He gave the guy an honest question and he couldn't answer it on the air. His sly incitement of racial resentment. No, he's trying to report the fact of racial homicide against whites. There's a reason why I don't subscribe to The Atlantic. Carlson's so-called deceptive reporting was intended to mislead poorly informed, credulous, and racially prejudiced viewers. No, it was to report the facts of white genocide in South Africa. That's what it was for, Mr. Frum. And the reason your mass media is declining in sales and in impact is because of your lies. People are not swallowing your lies anymore. And the more you continue to promote lies like this article, the less likely people are to... all I can say, folks, is boycott mass media. Do not subscribe to their newspapers, to their magazines, to their educational channels, which are garbage. And boycott Nike. One corporation at a time. Let's boycott Nike first because of their ridiculous promotion of that black communist ex-football player who sacrificed nothing, not even a few million. He earned a few more million by becoming the face of Nike. He never sacrificed anything. He's a millionaire. And he hasn't gone back into the black neighborhood and helped his fellow blacks improve their lives. And by the way, Nike owns sweatshops in the third world. That was revealed under Michael Jordan when they were selling Air Jordans. And of course, Michael Jordan said, gee, I didn't know about that. They're still doing it. And these people tell us that we're evil? These hypocrites tell us that we're evil? That we're racist for objecting to a white genocide? What an insane mass media we have. Of course, we just have to shout it from the rooftops, because the Jews own these media corporations. Honest reporting about white genocide will never happen in the mainstream media. And it's even worse than that, because even Alex Jones, who's only marginally patriotic, marginally patriotic, has been banned from Facebook and other media platforms also controlled by Jews. So the fact is, the corporate left, which is the Judeo corporate left, the banker communists who control the flow of information reaching your mind, do not want you to know that white genocide is going on. They will continue to deny it. The liars that they are, the liars and genocidal maniacs that they are. So it's the old story. The Jew stabs you in the back and screams he's being attacked so that people coming by think, oh, well, here's a knife sticking in the victim's back, and the Jew claims he's the one who was attacked. And people actually believe the Jew. But Trump's prejudices should not excuse anybody else's. No, Trump is not prejudiced. He's being honest. Mr. Frum, you're the one who's prejudiced. You're anti-white. Since Trump's August 23 South Africa tweet, liberal-leaning commentators have delved far into South African history, purporting to justify, or at least condone, the threatened land seizures. And there is no justification for those land seizures, because the white South Africans, especially the Boer people, have owned that land before any of these other blacks even moved down into South Africa. They made treaties with the local blacks who never owned the land. They were hunter-gatherers who drove their cattle through the land, never set up any permanent dwellings. There's no possibility that that defines ownership. So with the whites producing the food that has fed Africa for the last 300 years, the Jews hand these black politicians talking points to deny the true history of South Africa and dispossess the whites who have made the land bloom. Not Jews, folks, not blacks, but whites, who have made the land yield its harvests. This really tells us, this article really demonstrates how low the mass media sinks on a daily basis to deny the obvious. Because why? Well, because their great experiment of multiculturalism might fail if whites realize that they're being picked off like fish in a barrel. And, you know, is there a reason why whites are leaving South Africa and moving to other countries? It's not because it's a friendly place. It's not because, yes, Molly Tibbetts, thank you. Molly Tibbetts was murdered by an illegal alien. And Molly Tibbetts was a liberal. She supported the quote-unquote right of illegal aliens to be in America. So this is poetic justice on her part. Nevertheless, it's still murder by someone who should never have been on our soil. And we have Jews and blacks, Professor Ignatieff at Harvard or Yale, I forget, maybe he was both, arguing for the extermination of white people, blacks arguing for the extermination of white people. And they're free to say that without being accused of being racists. This shows you the level of prejudice in mass media, kosher, the kosher media, kosher press. He continues, yet the most urgently relevant history here is much more recent, not the Native Land Act of 1913, but the transition of political power in 1994. Yes, and all of the violence that preceded 1994 was staged by the internationalists and their black communist allies, the ANC. Mandela was an out-and-out terrorist, admittedly so. And then he was taken from South Africa, groomed in the Soviet Union to become the head of the so-called transition government, brought back to South Africa and placed into power by the internationalists. It's that simple, the international Jew. Then he says, that comparatively bloodless and harmonious transition was achieved because, and really only because, it guaranteed existing property rights. Okay, well, who does the land belong to, Mr. Frum? And it wasn't bloodless. All kinds of acts of terror were staged by the ANC leading up to that transition. It was not white on black. It was ANC against other blacks. It was ANC and other Jews attacking whites who chose to defend themselves with arms. Staged terrorist attacks, just like Antifa and Black Lives Matter do here in America. Exactly the same thing. And black terrorism in South Africa was the threat. And it was the promise of stopping the terrorist attacks. You know, the promise that was believed by whites in South Africa that caused these whites to vote for the black government. Okay, if this is what we have to do to achieve peace, then we'll do it. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. You cannot make a deal with a terrorist. And that's what Mandela was, a terrorist. He says this guarantee was codified in the South African Constitution of 1996. No one may be deprived of property except in terms of law of general application, and no law may permit arbitrary deprivation of property. Very good. Thank you for quoting that. But you're a liar when you say that in spite of this, the ANC hasn't taken land away from, they've taken land away by murder. More, another paragraph from the Constitution. Property may be expropriated only in terms of law of general application, whatever that means. That's really vague. A, for a public purpose or in the public interest. Well, if the result of the appropriation is going to be that black Africans are going to starve, then and the economy will collapse. Now, that's not for public interest. But what's public purpose? What does that mean? And B, subject to compensation, the amount of which and the time and manner of payment of which have either been agreed to by those affected or decided or approved by a court. And this is why we presented that video by a white farmer in South Africa last week, to the effect that the white farmers are hiring lawyers to defend their property. But this does not defend the white farmers against terrorist attacks by that government called the ANC. And the ANC has not shrunk from doing this kind of terrorism against whites. Just because they became the government, the official government, does not mean they have stopped terrorizing. And this is effectively what Frum is trying to argue in so many words, is that since they took over in 1994, the violence is just as bad, and it's worse. It's worse than it ever was. As Pastor Martins has explained, the white South African government, apartheid government, would build schools, would build homes, would build neighborhoods, streets, and businesses, which made the blacks under that system wealthier than all other blacks in Africa. But because they refused to integrate, the apartheid regime came under universal criticism from the banksters and the Atlantic magazine and of their ilk. This is the real crime of white South Africa, the refusal to integrate. So what's the message? The message is from the world community, which means the Jew-controlled, the banker-controlled community. If you refuse to integrate, we will simply wipe you out. Slowly if we have to, quickly if we can. Slowly if we have to, quickly if we can. But we don't want to raise alarm bells in the international community or in America by publishing the truth. Because otherwise, whites might wake up and start resisting the white genocide that's happening here in America. Everywhere and everywhere, the kosher press is denying the reality of white genocide, pretending it doesn't exist, making light of it, making fun of it. This is the reality we're in today. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. White people, you must rise up and resist the international Jew with all your might. Don't let them take our guns away. Take care, and Yahweh bless.